are listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 13th of February, 2022, and obviously tomorrow is Valentine's Day. So I hope you have all your cards and your flowers and everything else booked and sorted for tomorrow if you're in a relationship, or if you're looking for a potential relationship, I suppose it's a good way. I hope romance isn't dead for some people anyway. You know, I mean, after when you're in a kind of a long-term relationship, sometimes that kind of goes by the wayside. But look, you know, it depends on your interests and your background and, you know, the situation you're in. But happy Valentine's Day for tomorrow anyway, whether you're in a relationship or whether you're single. Right, now, my guest on the show tonight is a chap you all know. Walter Graham has been a regular on the show. He's a good friend to the show, and Walter's a great guy. Always has some fantastic information, and he's done an awful lot of campaigning over the years, especially the likes of the removal of fluoride in the water in Northern Ireland and loads of other things. So we're going to be getting into the subject tonight of everything with COVID and 5G and probably fluoride and God knows what else, because they are trying to bring in so many things, trying to stop us doing things. The Human Rights Act, for one, they're trying to change that and edit that and make it harder for us to have our body integrity and all that. So we're going to be talking about that stuff and probably loads more. But before that, let's find out what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email, contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
Okay, folks, you know the website circleofwhitelight.com, also on Patreon, patreon.com/COWLR, and PayPal button on the website if you want can donate. That would be fantastic. It's a big help. You know what we do with the money. We you know, support local community groups and things like that. All the information is on the website. Go over to Pay It Forward on the website and you'll see all the donations that we've made since December 2019. Every month, what we try and do is make a donation to a community group or a project or somebody that, you know, an individual that might need help somewhere along the line. So we do our best to try and support them. And it's all based on your donations. The more donations we get in, the more we can help. And that's just how it works. If you're interested in getting a funky T-shirt, then obviously send us an email to contact us at circleofwhitelight.com and tell us your size. It's €10 plus postage and packing, and we can sort out a T-shirt. And also, don't forget to go over to the website and subscribe to the newsletter, because if you're not on the newsletter, if you're not subscribed, then you won't get all the updates and the information that things about that Circle of White Light are doing. And any news that's happening, you'll get, I normally post out there. So go over to the website and subscribe, and then you'll be in the list of people getting the information coming from Circle of White Light. Now, a couple of things as usual to read out. I did mention, obviously, the men's shed. You know, I talked last week about the men's shed down in Bridgetown in Wexford, where they got flooded out, and we made a donation to them of €700 to help them guys, because their shed was under 3 feet of water. And sheds are very important locally in the local community. They help a lot of people, so we made a donation to them. And so this article is from the independent.ie, and it says that men's sheds in danger of being shut down for good by pandemic. And this is true. I've heard this. Groups offering support to 10,000 men across the country called for government to come to their aid. More than 70 men's shed groups around Ireland are in danger of never reopening again as a result of the pandemic. So there's about 400 men's sheds in Ireland, and about 70 of them are more than likely will be shutting down and not opening up again, which is a major loss for men's sheds around Ireland because of the pandemic. The government has been urged to redouble its support for the network of hundreds of men's shed groups whose activities support the well-being of more than 10,000 men and the communities where they live. So again, if you can support the local men's shed, do that, because they are a big asset to the local community and they are a big help to the local men in the local area, for giving them an outlet for them to come down. And, you know, the old saying that women talk face to face, but men talk shoulder to shoulder. That's the saying for the men's shed. So if you can support the men's shed, that'd be fantastic. Okay, the next thing is the convoy in Canada has raised apparently around 8 million via a GoFundMe page, and the authorities have closed it down. If this is not a wake-up call for everyone about digital currency, I do not know what is. This is how easy it will be for them to shut us down if you do not fit their social score system. That's why we have to stop their push for digital currency. It's too easy for them to control it, and that's what they did with the money. They shut down the GoFundMe page for the convoy. So we have to be aware of that. I mean, this push that's going on, I mean, they really are escalating all what they want to do. Things seem to be ramping up and speeding up, and we'll be talking to Walter about that. There's an awful lot going on. And something else that was sent in to me by Harry Rhodes, and I watched the video. Now, we knew about this technology, but now they're actually using it on real protesters. Harry said that there was a video. The video I saw was the Australian government police as well using directed energy weapons on peaceful protesters. And how you know these is that it's like a square shield on a tripod. And what it does is, well, this is my understanding of it, and maybe Walter knows a bit about this as well. My understanding is it sends out a directed energy beam, like a microwave beam. Right, so as if you had your hand in the microwave oven and you switched it on, and you'd get so like a burning feeling, radiation, and you have to get away from it. And this is what the actual beam does, and it's for crowd control. And I've seen the video, and Harry said this is what they're doing now to peaceful protesters. So they're rolling out the direct energy weapons on protesters. So it's just ridiculous, you know. So I'm sure we'll talk about that anyway. Now, the other thing, just for my week, I have a family member who's looking to rent a property around the Kinnegad area as his landlord. Kinnegad is in Westmead, for people who don't live in Ireland. Westmead is kind of, I don't know, probably about 60 miles or 60, 70 kilometres from Dublin, the central Dublin, something like that, around that, probably a bit more. So he's looking to obviously rent a property around Kinnegad area, as his landlord is selling the property they are currently in. But the prices for rental properties over here are just gone through the roof. And in my eyes, it's just pure greed. It's just people who are landlords. They want to make money, and they're just greedy. I mean, it really is just greed. And loads of young couples who want to try and find a place and just get on the ladder, or at least find a place to live in. It's just ridiculous. There might be one or two properties available in an area, and you'd have a queue of people taking a look at it to see what, you know, if they can get it or not. How do they expect young couples to afford the rent levels? We are talking about over €1,000 per month, and that's before all the other expenses that you have, you know, as a family. This is why society needs to change, and why we need something even bigger than COVID to wake people up. In my humble opinion, COVID dealt with ignorance. The next thing might be to deal with greed. So maybe we have these pestilence and all these other kind of plagues of Egypt. Maybe things have to happen in a certain way, and maybe COVID was the first one to wake people up regarding ignorance. Ignorance to the fact that you're being controlled and manipulated, and you're being told lies by the government to go and get the experimental drug when you need to do your research and not just blindly believe the government. So that was the ignorance level. And now we're going to go to the greed, where all these landlords and people are just looking to try and make as much money as they can, and to hell with everybody else. So I don't know. I mean, that's just in my own opinion, folks. You know, I could be wrong, and I'm happy to say I'm wrong if I'm wrong. You know, no problem there. But it's just ridiculous. So if anybody knows of any property around Kinnegad, Mullingar, Delvin Way, By all means, let us know as soon as possible. Send me an email to contact us at circlewhitelight.com, because my family member and his partner have to be out by the next 2 weeks, and it's taken them. They've been looking and looking and looking and not finding anything, or the rent is just ridiculous, too high. So if anybody knows of a place that's up for rent, that's reasonable, that's affordable, by all means, let me know. Right, OK, I'm going to bring my guest in. It's Walter Graham. Walter Graham has been campaigning for over 20 years in both the north and south of Ireland. He has been influential in stopping water fluoridation. That's in the north of Ireland, not the south of Ireland. Highlighting the dangers of mobile phone masks and Wi-Fi in schools, as well as highlighting the dangers of vaccinations. He has written numerous articles for various publications, organised protest marches, and generally been a pain in the ass to government agencies. Brilliant. He has flown in a number of scientists to speak on all these topics. Helping many campaign groups over the years, he continues to assist people when asked. Most recently, Walter was a speaker at the 2019 OIM conference in Waterford. His latest concern is with the citizens group in Derry and their efforts to clean up toxic waste sites on a massive scale, which are detrimental to their health and environment. Good evening, Walter. How are you?
Doing good. Yep.
Doing good. Okay, brilliant. Listen, I do appreciate you coming on, because the guest that was planned to come on, Jen Zen, couldn't make it, lastminute.com, and I reached out to yourself, and I know you have family with you, so I do appreciate you coming on, so thanks for doing that.
Oh, no, you're welcome. Anything for you, Al.
Cheers. Thanks a lot, Walter. Okay, so where do we start with this chaos, Walter? Now, the last time I spoke to you was, last time we did an interview on the show was March 2021, and so we're nearly a year down the line from that, and now we have the lifting of all the regulations and the restrictions regarding mask wearing and everything else. And as I said to you before we went live, today was my first day going out for a meal with the family, sitting in a restaurant. You know, this was in 2 years, basically. Today was the first day we went out and sat in a restaurant. We're all, the other people I'm sure were probably vaccinated. But so how are you dealing with it? What's happening in up the north, and what's happening regarding the mask wearing? I mean, I'll take all the rules and regulations have stopped as well up there.
Yeah, the regulations have stopped, but it doesn't stop people from wearing masks. They've been trained to wear them now, and they believe that they're protecting them in some way, which they're not. So there's still people wearing masks, even though they don't have to. And they've extended the whole rules. I think it's next week the whole thing gets done away with. That's what they've said. But that just forebodes what else is coming. But I think that it's giving everybody a breather, and they believe that they've stopped all of this. But I think we're just getting ready for something worse. That's what I think's coming. But the masks some places don't ask anymore, which is kind of nice, and they're not doing the track and trace anymore, which they were trying to force on people.
Yep.
I went into one place and they said, you've got to give us all your contact details. I said, that's a breach of data protection. I said, you can't even ask. Mm. You're breaching data protection. Mm. That's the law. I said, if I turn you in, you're going to be investigated. I said, you can't be asking for this information. Yeah. And I said, what you're asking me to do is break the law by giving it to you. I said, I can't do that.
Yeah.
That stopped them, but, you know.
It's amazing the level of ignorance and the belief that people has that, it was on RTE, so it must be true. It was on the news, it must be true. And nobody seems to question anything. Now, I have, as people know, I have the lanyard with exemption on it. And I use that now all the time. Obviously, by the February 28th is when the masks are finished here. And I totally agree. You're going to get people still wearing the masks, whether they're virtual signalling or they'll have their reasons why they're wearing the mask. And, you know, because the virtual signalling, some people are just overboard with that. But it's worrying that they just don't seem to understand the law. Now, I was looking at the psychology. It's something that I might talk about tonight, actually. I was analysing the psychology of why people, if you're walking around and you don't have a mask and you don't have a lanyard on, why people go and can get in your face, basically. Because if you think about the psychology and how it works, you know, a lot of people, generally most people, don't like confrontation. So, based on that fact, if they do go beyond, you know, that fear of confrontation, then that means there's something that's on their mind that fundamentally they feel they have to say, you know, like it's for safety, my safety and everybody else's safety. And even though I'm afraid of confrontation, I'm going to say it because that's the subject matter which I'm very strong on. So they will kind of forget about their hesitance of confrontation and then go forward. So this is where the lanyard comes in, because if they see somebody that doesn't have a mask on, but they've no sign saying anything, then that will kind of, I feel that will prompt them to, you know, go beyond the fear of the confrontation to say something. But with the lanyard on, they, you know, they might look and they see no mask. And this has happened to me. I've been Aldi. I was in Aldi and one guy looked at my face and said, he's got no mask on. And then he scanned down to my chest and seeing the lanyard with the badge and went, oh, okay, he's got a lanyard on. He has a reason. He has an excuse. And now this is my kind of subjective opinion on it, because, you know, I'd have to get Rachel Alexander on as a psychologist and we could talk about it. But this is my, so this is why I'm saying, some people will say, well, I'm not wearing a lanyard. I don't feel I should. And legally you're not required. And I know that. But I just feel wearing the lanyard is letting people know that, by the way, you know, you can be exempt. You know, I mean, people don't have to wear masks. You can be exempt. There's a law that's there. So part of it for me is education by doing that. And as I say, each to their own. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, I guess I haven't worn a mask the whole time, and nobody's actually hardly ever challenged me. Everywhere I've walked in, they've just accepted me going in. I've gone shopping. I've gone done everything. Nobody's really come up to me. And the one time they did, I was at the lumber yard, you know, to get some screws and stuff. And the guy behind the counter said, you know, I'm sorry, you've got to have a mask to come in here. I said, I'm medically exempt. And he says, well, to come in here, you have to have a mask. I said, I'm medically exempt. And he says, yeah, but he says, here, I'll give you a mask. I said, no, thank you. And I just looked at him and he backed away. And that was that's the closest I came to any kind of a conversation about it. Nobody has asked me. I've been to the bank. I've been all over the place, bought food. Nobody's asked. So I've been left alone. I don't know what it is, but I'm happy.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. But isn't that funny how people who just don't seem to get the idea that you can be medically exempt, and they go, oh, but no, here's a mask. And because I had this with a local shop with one of the management, let's just say management, not the shop manager was fine about it. He was cool about it. He knew the score, but she obviously didn't know. And she walked past me. She didn't stop for conversation. She just had the lanyard on. And, she said, oh, you have to put a mask on. And I showed her the badge, you know, and she walked on. And I thought, well, if she stopped and had the conversation with me, I would have educated her. She obviously didn't understand the word that exempt means not to wear anything. Doesn't mean that, you know, when you're exempt, you still have to put a mask on. I mean, that's just ridiculous. The only other issue I had was Harry Curry down in Navan. And I went in and I had the lanyard on and the woman came over and she said, oh, I have a mask here. But she handed out a box of masks. And I have a mask here. And I just picked up the lanyard and I said, showed her. And she went, oh, and then walked away. And then that was it. But that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably wearing the lanyard's a good idea if you don't want confrontations and the whole thing. I did have one. I was down in just outside of Dundalk at a little restaurant, and they, you know, had to sit outside this whole routine. But I pulled over. This was during the real lockdown for you guys, and I pulled over a table and some chairs, you know, and we sat down, and you weren't allowed to sit on the premises. Right. You could eat your food standing, but you couldn't sit down. I mean, what nonsense is this? Yeah. So I mean, we're sitting there and then the guardie show up. Somebody had called the guardie on us because we were actually sitting at the, you know, actually sitting.
Yeah.
So the guardie comes over and says, you're not allowed to do this. And I said, what, eat? And he says, no, you're not allowed to be sitting. You know, you can't just be sitting here. You got to take the food and leave, you know. And after a few minutes, they just backed off, left us alone, you know, because it was obvious there was no point in pushing.
But it's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, where's common sense in all of this? You know, I mean, is the virus that intelligent that if you're sitting down, it won't affect you, but if you're standing up or vice versa, if you're standing up, it doesn't affect you, but if you're sitting down and you don't have a mask on, it doesn't... You know, it's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. The whole idea of the lanyard for me, I mean, mm-hmm. I do carry the law around with me because mm-hmm. if people do want to, even with the lanyard on, if they do decide to confront me and go, oh, you have to wear a mask. This is why I was hoping this lady would do it, but she didn't do it. She walked past. I would mm-hmm. have asked her. I said, well, can you tell me what the law is? Tell me what the law says. And if she read out something that Mickey down the pub told her, you know, you have to wear a mask. I'll go, well, that's funny because I have a copy of the actual law here got to do with mask wearing. And there's nowhere in that law does it say what you've just said. So that kind of tells me that what you've been told is a lie. It's wrong information. It's misinformation, you know. And so it's better to wait for them to tell you the wrong information. And then, you know, I have the law on me. Because when you have the law, when you take it out of your pocket and you say, well, I have the law here, they really, I mean, they've nowhere to go. They really have nowhere to go because you've shown them the law, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think this is all been exacerbated and caused by the government who didn't tell anybody. They didn't put out ads telling people that there were people exemptions or people didn't have to wear masks or there were medical exemptions, you know? The fact that they didn't tell them at all meant guaranteed that we would have confrontations.
Well, this is causing so many problems, especially people who are working in companies where companies have said that mm-hmm. they're trying to force their employees to put a mask on and mm-hmm. they have not taken legal advice from their legal department, but just made the assumption that, oh, the government said you have to have a mask on, mm-hmm. not understanding the law. And I explained it to somebody in this way. You know, we have down here and probably up the north, you have toll roads, okay? And then, so you have a choice. You can either go down the toll road, pay the fee, and get to where you want to quicker, or you can go down the back road, which is slower, but you don't have to pay the fee. Now, if the government turned around and forced everybody to go down the toll roads, that would be illegal because you have to give people choice and it would be obvious that it was a scam and a money-making scheme. So mm-hmm. you legally have to give people choice because maybe some people, like learner drivers, cannot go on a motorway. So, but they want to be able to get down to Dublin. So there's one example, right? Now, the law is the same thing. You have to, there has to be exemptions in the law because not everybody is the same. We're not mm-hmm. all the same. We're not built the same and everybody's different. And this is what I was saying to people. That's how the law works. And I had a word with the manager in the local shop and he mm-hmm. got it. He understood that. And I said to him, it doesn't matter what your opinion is or my opinion is. Mm-hmm. It matters what the law says. So regardless of maybe in his interest of safety, he was thinking that everybody has to wear a mask regardless. So I said, no. I said, no, because there's people out there for numerous reasons cannot wear a mask for health reasons. And I said, you cannot force people. And if you stop them coming in, which is the other argument, saying, oh, well, the shopkeepers can stop you coming in, you know, right of access, and go, no, because if you have somebody in a wheelchair, would you stop somebody in a wheelchair? If you did that, would you be discriminating? And the chap I said this to, he said, yeah, that would be discrimination. I said, well, it's the same thing with the mask. You're discriminating mm-hmm. against that person's medical condition because they can't put a mask on. And it's only then when they start thinking that the penny drops.
Yeah, I, as I say, the government, when they brought out the regulations, which weren't laws anyway, they didn't inform the public that there were exemptions, that there were legitimate reasons for why you couldn't wear one. I mean, it could be a psychological reason. You were raped and somebody put his hand over your mouth while they raped you.
Yeah.
It could be a whole bunch of other reasons. Or you just have, like a friend of mine, he has a Down syndrome, like a 20-year-old. And he's built like a bull, and there's no way he'd put a mask on. Now, he can't wear a mask. He just won't. Mm. There's just no way around it. You'd have to have six cops force it on him, and he'd take it back off anyway. So what do you do? But they didn't put this out. They didn't tell people that you also could say whether you were exempt or not. Mm. You determined your own exemption. But they didn't tell them that there was exemptions anyway.
Yeah, conveniently. And the media didn't report on it either, because that kind of went underneath the radar because they didn't want people knowing about that, because they wanted the compliance of everybody wearing the masks. But it caused an awful lot of problems with an awful lot of people, again, out of ignorance. And this is why, when you have a copy of the law, which I've said to a lot of people, have a copy of the law printed out, have it on you, and then if anybody says that, and show them, you know, and that kind of shuts them up straight away. And then obviously we have to deal with the experimental drug, because, you know, a lot of people rolled up a sleeve and got that. And that caused an issue. And one of the things I mentioned just before we went live, Walter, about the virtual signaling and the whole idea that the people who actually went and got the jab and the booster and got the COVID ID are feeling a bit out of sorts, really, because at the end of the day, they did everything they were told by the government. Mm-hmm. You know, they feel let down by the government, because hang on a minute, we actually queued up for hours to get our jab and we got our booster and we got our COVID ID, and these unclean people, like, as I said, I was in a restaurant today with the family, these unclean people who haven't been vaccinated are sitting there. They shouldn't be in here. They should be out the back, you know, with the peasants, you know, and this is going on. People are really peed off that, you know, they did everything they were told, and people who have not been vaccinated or jabbed are on the same level as them. I mean, talk about a divide in society.
Yeah, this should be a wake-up call for the ones who took the vaccine, because, you know, here they gave them one vaccine, and then they said, oh, it's not, now you got to get a second one. And then they said, now we need a booster, you know, and now there's a fourth one. They're rolling it out in Israel, I think. So, you know, there's a continuous flow of this stuff. Well, if the first one didn't work, why would you go get a second one of these? You know, they don't work. It's clearly they don't work. Okay. And now they're telling you that it has a very short protection span, you know, of only a couple of months.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Totally. And now the issue that we have is that they are trying to change the Human Rights Act to say that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. And even if you have a right to body integrity, this new Human Rights Act they're trying to push through is going to supersede all of that, because their interest is more important than what you want in your body, which is completely draconian.
Well, you know, this is the issue that came across in the fluoride fight, was exactly this point, was that we can't vote on fluoridation. You can't have your neighbor voting yes to fluoridation. Now you're forced to take it, even though you think it's harmful for the rest of your life, for a condition you don't even have. Why should the neighbor have that right to vote on it? You see, there's certain issues that you can't vote on. And when it goes into somebody's personal liberty, and especially their health, no, your neighbor can't vote on it. These are personal issues. They are not for voting. And that's why the government shouldn't be even involved in these kind of issues, because you can't regulate health. It's just not possible. And, of course, they've gotten everything wrong anyway. So, no, this is a personal choice. And, you know, I would say to all the listeners, just to keep repeating, it's my body, it's my choice.
And keep saying that. We're going to be bouncing around subjects. One of the things that I'm sure you've come across, it's been mentioned kind of on the outskirts, this HIV, which they're talking about. I don't know whether they're going to try doing another scare. They're saying it's very virulent, and that it can spread quicker than the normal HIV. And again, I don't know whether they're trying to use this as the next pandemic. To scare people and put it out there, because obviously, you know, we know all about HIV in the 80s and everything else. But AZT, which is the actual drug that they were given to try and fight AIDS or, you know, HIV, was probably one of the main causes that killed the people in the first place, apparently. That's the rumour anyway. So I don't know whether, have you heard anything about this, Walter?
Yeah, I have. And funny enough, just as you're saying about AZT, there was a doctor who was instrumental in stopping fluoridation in certain states in America. And he also went, he was used as an expert witness in three Supreme Court cases. His name was Dr. John Yamanyanis, a biochemist. And he had done a study on AZT, and he fed it to monkeys. And he then had other control monkeys that didn't get it. All the monkeys who got it all had heart attacks, and they all died because the AZT is not the answer. Clearly it's not. So they were putting it out as if this was the cure, and it was actually, they said that you would get 18 months more life. Right. But it actually was killing the monkeys at exactly 18 months.
Wow.
You see, so he did this study. He did articles on it and the whole thing. But of course, nobody picked it up, and this stuff all gets suppressed, and, you know, you didn't hear about it. But I happen to have followed his career because of the fluoride connection. You couldn't make this stuff up. They're doing this stuff all the time. I think the government is just, it's not the government. That's another thing I just like to say. There is no such thing as a government. There are a group of private citizens, just like you and I, who are saying, I'm the government. That's all there is.
Yeah.
Well, we shouldn't be playing games with these people. We should be putting them on notice and then taking them through the court system for what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to do that. Now, there are good people in the background doing good things. And we've had a provisional government, as people know, since 1922. It's not even a real government. So let's be honest about that. There was a question that came in earlier today for you, Walter, regarding the HIV human rights. So I'm going to read it out to you now. I might, because sure, we're on that subject, I might as well talk about it. And it was from Kim. And the question is, could you ask Walter Graham his views on human rights, as the media are now confirming that there could be AIDS, HIV in the COVID jab? Human rights bill may be changed to enable the public health to override individual rights, meaning that they can continue the mass experiments on everyone, will have to be tested and jabbed. Well, that's the plan, as we said earlier, just a few minutes ago, about the human rights bill. God knows what was in the COVID jab. Now, apparently there was three vials. One was the saline, which is harmless and probably what the politicians had. And then the other two, one was COVID and one was COVID plus something else. And they have to have their placebo so they can do trials. And they'll know which bottle had what in it. And the amount of people that have been damaged is just unreal. And now they're pushing out the actual experimental drug for young children. I mean, it's just madness.
Yeah, no, we're at war. You know, I interviewed Dr. Albert Schatz about, I don't know, maybe 9 years ago. I can't remember how long, but it was a while ago. And I actually met him in Philadelphia with his wife. That's where he lived. And I interviewed him for a day and an evening. He gave me a whole day and an evening with him and his wife. And I recorded him. And one of the things he said, now this was off camera, he said, you know, Walter, he said, the governments now have the ability to attack their own people, wage war against their own people without them even knowing it. He said, now, what would you expect to see if they say we're spraying us from the air with chemtrails, or they were putting fluoride in the drinking water, or they were doing all these other things that we now know that they have been doing? He says, what would you expect to find? He says, I'd expect to find new diseases that never existed before. He says, well, you know, I don't know all of them, but I can name 13. He said, so he said, we're under attack right now. He said, we were born into a battlefield.
Yeah.
We just didn't know it. He said, because we, as human beings, what we're used to is we see a mushroom cloud on the horizon. We hear a boom. Now we all react because we know we're under attack. He said, but they've done this clandestinely with putting chemicals into your food, GMO products and so on. Roundup sprayed on every crop. You know, this is war. People aren't associating it with war because they don't see troops and they don't understand that this is a covert war. It's not an open out in the open kind of war. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't swear that all of this is all being orchestrated like that, but it seems like it is because everything, every contact that the government has with the population, whether it's putting all their food in plastic that has estrogen in it, female hormones and mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff, or it's the chemicals they're putting in the water system. I mean, there's no reason to be putting in fluoride into the drinking water. They know that. They know that it's chemically unsound and that it causes harm, large amounts of harm, including an increase in cancers of all kinds. So they're doing this on purpose. And I know that a lot of other people who've been fighting other issues have been threatened and things like that have been going on in the background. So the government is actively trying to suppress resistance to anything they do. But there seems like an agenda to all of this. And as Albert Schatz was saying, we're at war.
Yeah.
And people have to start waking up to that reality because that's what's happening. That's why they're going after the small children now.
Yeah.
There's no other reason because COVID, they don't get COVID in the first place.
Well, yeah.
I mean, statistically, children don't get it at all. And even if they get it, they don't even know they've had it. You know, it's so mild for them.
Exactly. So, what about the sterility and the risk of sterility with COVID? That could be, even if the young
people. You mean the vaccine?
Yeah, they call it a vaccine. We call it a jab or an experimental drug. But you have teenagers who've queued up, they've actually got it. And even if they weren't affected by it, could it be the possibility, which we have a feeling it is, that there's something in it that affects sterility and the sperm of the men and the eggs of the woman?
Yes, they've been doing this for years. I remember listening to a radio program with Dr. Russell Blaylock, and he was talking about the fact that they had done this on purpose in two different countries and being caught doing it, right? It was somewhere in Africa, and another place was in South America. I think it was Mexico. And I knew Dr. Russell Blaylock. At least I knew somebody who knew him, and I got his phone number, and I called him up, and I said, can you send me proof of what you've just said? Because, I mean, that's horrific. And within an hour or 2 hours, suddenly these two studies came through from these two different countries. Yes, they had done it on purpose. They'd actually put in a stuff called polysorbate 80. Polysorbate 80 was taken out of all of the vaccines in America at the time of the Gulf War because it was shown that polysorbate 80 was made infertility happen. And yet it's in our vaccines. You know, well, not vaccines, in our gene therapy. So we don't know half of what's in there. And whenever they've been, whenever they got their permission to put the vaccine out, it was a trial permission. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And in order to get the full permission, where the World Health Organization stamps it and says, yes, so now you've done your trials, it's over, it's safe, all this kind of nonsense, they have to tell you everything that's in it. And to date, as far as I know, they have not been come forward with what's in this vaccine. So people are taking something and you can't even get a list of what's in it. And whenever you got the product safety sheet, you see, normally whenever they get these vials at the doctor's office, there's a product safety sheet. Apparently, when you unfold the product safety sheet for the COVID vaccine, it's blank. It's the size of an A1 chart, and there's nothing on it.
Yeah.
They refused to tell us what exactly is in this, which then says it's something terribly harmful, or they wouldn't be hiding it. They'd be happy to tell you. If it's mother's milk, they'd tell you.
Yeah.
You know.
And the fact that it's experimental as well. I mean, this is the thing. And they should be, if anything, telling you because it's experimental. And not saying anything, but something you said there about the covert, and I just want to clarify that from a psychological point of view, because this is something I wrote about in the very, very original website I did on Open Your Mind back in 2005. I wrote it from a psychological point of view, and you know, people were talking about, well, what is going on with, you know, what's the difference between covert and overt and everything else? And I said, well, it's very simple. If somebody's parked outside your house and you don't know they're there, they could stay there 24/7, and as long as you don't know they're there, they could be watching you and monitoring you and doing whatever they want. But as soon as they, as soon as you know they're there, which is overt rather than covert, then you have a choice whether you want to do something or not. And this is the problem, because everything is being done covertly, as you say, through the chemtrails and everything else, people are not aware of it. And it's only until they actually, it becomes overt and they become aware that it's happening, then they stand up and go, this is wrong, we shouldn't be done. And this is why part of what we do, obviously, is trying to educate people and put the information out there to let them know what's going on. But, you know, it's the cognitive dissonance and, you know, I trust my government and they must be doing the right thing. Surely they wouldn't tell us lies and, you know, the normal stuff.
Yeah. Now, well, people do go into denial over this. And, of course, they expect to hear it on the news. They expect to see a TV program on it. You know, it's like 9/11 happened. And, you know, they don't realize that this Building 7, they can't even explain it. People weren't even told that Building 7 dropped. So the news is not the news anymore. It's propaganda. And that's been made very clear with the amount of, you know, suppression of doctors and information coming out. They don't want us to know anything. This is yet the BBC had protected Jimmy Savile for like 20 some odd years, you know, knowing they had a file on him. They knew exactly what he was doing, and yet they protected him because he had some connections with the royal family, and he was actually going to lunch, I heard, every Saturday at the palace. So he was left alone, and he was allowed to go on torturing children and doing all the crazy things he did. So this is the same BBC that you're listening to for the news.
Yeah. And you know what? I was watching the documentary during the week. It came up on my YouTube stream and I went, let's go back in history a little bit and find out what happened. And it was the history of Gary Glitter. And obviously he grew up in care homes and ran away from care homes, and maybe that's kind of where, you know, everything kind of stemmed from. And I'm not trying to say that because of that he's innocent, I should be let off. I'm just saying that that could be the catalyst that, you know, caused the issues later on in his life. But apparently he was very, very determined to be famous. And he was trying different things and changing his name to different people. And he got to the age of 27 and thought, well, if I don't make it now, I'll never make it. And just this music mongol picked up on him. He seen him and said, right, I'll take you on because I have a number of people that I take care of. And he invented Gary Glitter for the glam era. And then Gary Glitter just went on a complete ego trip, massive ego trip. But he was, he abused the girl, his daughter's friend. She was 8 years old. He abused her in bed. Obviously, you know, he was found, he brought his laptop to PC World and they found something like 4,000 images on something on the laptop, you know. So maybe there's probably one or two other girls that he probably abused as well. I don't know. But definitely his daughter's friend. And they probably knew about him as well, along with Jimmy Savile, because, you know, it was that time. And Jonathan King would have probably been known about that as well. It's just mad that, you know, the BBC, how can you turn around and rely on the BBC or any media? I mean, we always say, you know, if you can't question the science, it's not science, it's propaganda. And that's what we're getting. They are not reporting the news. They are making the news up.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, we can't tell what's real and what's not. And they know that. We do rely on them. I don't listen to the news at all. I go to alternative news stations and other feeds. Like I listen to the High Wire if I want to know what's going on in the vaccines. Mm. If I want to hear some other news in Britain, I start watching the UK column. They have good reporting and everything's factual and they give you all the information. The same with the High Wire. Every time they talk about a study, they put it up online for you to download if you want to actually read the actual study. So they're doing journalism the way it's supposed to be done. You never get that from the BBC, or you don't get that probably from RTE. Mm. You know, they don't put their stuff up online and prove anything. They don't have to. They just tell you something and then people just swallow it. And there was a man in Britain who refused to pay his TV license. And the BBC took him to court. And when he got to court, he claimed that the BBC was a terrorist organization. He could prove it. So the judge allowed him to show a clip off the BBC News on 9/11. And it was the fact that they knew that Building 7 was going to be dropped before it actually had been dropped. And the announcer announced that Building 7 had collapsed, right?
Yeah.
And in the background behind her was live footage, and Building 7 was still sitting there. Mm. So they had to have known hours in advance in order to put that newscast out prior to the building falling. And that man was let off without having to pay his TV license for the rest of his life. And other people have followed the same tactic. So the BBC is a terrorist organization.
Well, the team, yeah.
And also, he was saying, I can't fund a terrorist organization or I could be arrested and put in prison for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So I'm not giving money to a terrorist organization. And he was let off. So it's been proven in court.
I remember that case. But the TV license in the UK is different to Ireland. The TV license in the UK states that if you're watching live footage, mm-hmm. then you have to have a TV license, where in Ireland, if you have a TV, you have to have a TV license. And that's the difference with the two of them. Now, there are a lot of people turning around and cancelling the TV license anyway over here. They're just saying, look, sod it, I'm not going to do it, because everything is by consent anyway, mm-hmm. you know. And if you don't consent, and that's, you know, consent creates the law, and that's acts and statutes. Now, I know that the Irish government, we have a constitution, and they ignore, a lot of the time, they ignore the constitution, especially when it comes to evictions, mm-hmm. vulture funds and all these, you know, going after houses and properties. And, you know, it's... You know, you are right, Walter. We are in this war, and we joined the war when we were born. Little did we know. And I just don't know how long this is going to go on for. I don't know how much more we can carry on with this. I mean, I know they are pushing and pushing and pushing, but I know there's a lot of good people out there fighting back. And if you look at the likes of the convoy in Canada and down in Australia, and I believe there was one in the UK, and more people actually... waking up and seeing what's going on. So it is kind of a bit of seesaw. They get a bit, we get a bit, and it's up and down at the moment, I think.
Yeah, I think the thing is they've lost a little bit of control over the whole narrative. And, you know, like you were mentioning in the beginning of your intro, you were talking about the fact of the, not cloud funding, you know, the other thing.
GoFundMe, yeah.
The truckers, yeah, the GoFundMe thing, and that they could just take the money. Just take it, you know. That shows you what we're set up for. You know, this is the government. This is these companies. They can just take your money. They can do whatever they want now. It's a lawless society. We're the only ones who think there's laws.
Yeah.
The government doesn't think there's laws. Everything they've done on the whole COVID was illegal. Every one of those actions was illegal. And yet they did it. And they're continuing to do it. Mm-hmm. Even as we speak, there's a crime reference number, because in Hammersmith in London, the CID there have opened up a case to investigate the whole COVID and the vaccines and the promotion and everything, right? And so they have an open crime number now. And people are starting to go into their own police stations and saying, look, here's the crime number. I want you to close those vaccine centers down until this investigation is complete.
Yeah.
And so it's starting to happen. People are waking up more and more. And now, even across Northern Ireland, and you must have them across the South, we're having meetings virtually every week with groups who are fighting mortgages, with groups who are fighting all kinds of other issues like smart meters, and people who are trying to stop fracking and stop gold mining in Tyrone and all this kind of stuff. And now they're talking... They've actually, the government have agreed, and it's not the government again, I'm sorry I said that, it's the civil servants.
Yeah.
The top civil servants have agreed to allow nuclear waste to be buried in Northern Ireland.
Wow.
So, and also across the border in Donegal, I've heard as well. So these civil servants, I asked yesterday at a group meeting, and I said, raise your hand if you voted for fracking. Nobody's hand went up, of course. I said, raise your hand if you voted for a toxic waste dump in Derry. No hands went up. I said, raise your hand if you voted for nuclear energy or waste to be buried in Northern Ireland. No hands went up. I said, well, you know, that's the civil servants. That's those top civil servants are agreeing to everything that's toxic for us. We have to take the power back from them. We have to start a new form of government without them because we can't go on with these people. They are so corrupted. It could be no other way. They're signing us away as if we gave our permission for this. We didn't.
Yeah.
Nobody wants this.
Do you think what I said earlier on, Walter, at the start about, mm-hmm. you know, I said there at the start about maybe we need something more than COVID. COVID was, to me, was more of a training exercise regarding ignorance. And now mm-hmm. maybe the next big thing that we need is the actual greed. Maybe it's a case of, I don't know, financial system collapse or something happening. No, mm-hmm. I'm not wishing this, by the way. It's an open debate and discussion as to what would be the next big thing they're going to try and do, because part of the, I can understand if you step away from the planet and look at COVID, mm-hmm. you know, I can see why we needed COVID as part of the awakening of people and humanity. And a lot of people have woken up because of it. And that's great. Now time to, so the next step is, what's the next biggest thing regarding the greed in people? Because as I said earlier about the rental charges for people living in houses are trying to find a house and the landlords are just charging ridiculous money. And it's all just pure greed. It really is pure greed. And something has to happen to put them people in their place and to teach them a lesson. So I'd probably say that might be the next one. But again, I'm only speculating.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many new things that they're shoving at us all at one time. You know, they're using the climate change agenda to bring in all kinds of measures and do things to us, hurt us in all kinds of ways. And, you know, they keep these things like an ace in the hole. If they need a distraction, they'll suddenly pull out that agenda. You know, the next thing you know, you're hearing about climate change. And the whole thing, they've got so many orchestrated things that they're talking about, you know. So there's so much happening. It's very hard to stay on top of all of these subjects. And there's groups being formed everywhere over all of this. The amount of energy this is consuming of people's lives is astronomical. I mean, I put in 24 years on fluoride, mobile phone masks, vaccinations, Wi-Fi in schools, you know, the whole thing. So it can consume you because you're really, you can't see how you can get a change if you don't put the time and effort in.
Yeah.
So you time and effort in.
Yeah, no,
and yet we shouldn't be doing this.
No, exactly. Look, I totally agree. I'm 21 years doing this, 11 years doing radio. And it's very consuming, and you have to be able to walk away at times and do some grounding. And ground yourself, you know, because if you do 24/7, you're going to burn yourself out. And that's one thing that, you know, that's why I like having my shed or going down to the men's shed, just getting away from it, from the subject matter, and focusing on the day-to-day stuff, making something with a piece of wood or doing something practical like that, away from this, because you'd burn yourself out, you know. So I think we all have to do that. I'll just quickly say to people, if you have a question for Walter on the chat room, just put Q or question at the start of it so I can see it, and then I'll ask Walter the question. If you can do that, please, that'd be great. Fantastic. So the concern is, Walter, and you mentioned it there at the start, is it was very convenient when this all started to happen and the lockdown started to happen that all of a sudden they just happened to roll out 5G at the same time. Very convenient that.
Oh yeah, and not only that, in my neighborhood where I am, we had like 200 people protesting outside the council offices, right? We were doing it almost virtually every week. And suddenly they did the lockdown, and now nobody was able to protest. And all these trucks suddenly invaded the streets, and they started putting up 5G masts and antennas. And then they put them in all the schools up north while we were all in full lockdown. Mm-hmm. So they had teams of these guys driving around, and they didn't have any masks on or anything. They apparently knew there was no COVID. That's what it appeared like. And they started putting up 5G antennas. And so now we're fully 5G antennaed. For the most part, maybe not out in the rural areas, but certainly in the cities we are. Now, they haven't turned it all on, nor have they turned it on full.
Yeah.
You know, They're keeping it very low, and I think the fear is if they were to turn it on in, say, Lisburn, and they turned it on at full volume, there'd be so many people hurt and maimed in Lisburn, we'd notice it. Mm. And then we'd fight and take these masks off these telephone poles. We'd go around and do it, you know, and that's what they're afraid of. So they won't turn it on until they have every place covered, because they can't take the chance, I think, on suddenly lighting up one group of people and they all start dying or something happens to them and we all notice it.
Yeah. And I think this was a, if memory serves me well, I looked at the map. This was a global rollout of 5G. This wasn't just in Ireland. This was globally that all the countries all at the same time rolled out 5G all at the same time.
All during the lockdown. What a convenient moment that was, huh?
Yeah.
You think they were sitting there ready with all this stuff? No, they knew what the timing was. Again, you know, when you try and it's like moving an army, you can't move an army suddenly. You have to plan months, if not a year in advance, just to get an army on the move, because you've got to get all the catering services. You've got to know that there's supply lines. Everything has to be put in place before you can even move that army.
Yeah.
So this is the same with this. They had to know way in advance. This was not an accident the way this happened. That's my opinion anyway. That's just how I see it unrolling, because they couldn't have had this stuff sitting there, and it was just so coincidental that it happened on the same time. And yet these guys didn't have masks on. They didn't have to social distance. They were standing next to each other. They were going, you know, I mean, what's going on here? I thought there was a deadly virus running loose that was going to wipe out half the world. Well, apparently not. These guys could drive around in trucks.
And what's your solution to the 5G? Do you have any suggestions for people of what to wear, what to use, what to do to try and avoid it as best they can?
Well, I think try and get it stopped in your area. Try and get it removed in your area. And I think that there are things that can be done to help you do this. There are letters that you can write in to local councils and things to make them take personal legal liability for what they've done. That's the only way we're going to go forward. And, of course, there are vigilantes, because there have been a bunch of these have been cut down in Belfast and other places. So people have taken it into their own hands to get rid of these things. You know, why sit there and wait until you're sick to then react?
Yeah, true.
That's what people are – that's what's happening. So I think they're really encouraging this with what they're doing, because they're forcing this over the top of us. Now, I don't know anybody, and I would almost – I wish I could see a show of hands of your listeners. How many people have voted for 5G? None. Yeah.
Well, again, it's part of the programming, isn't it? They're telling the people who aren't aware of the dangers that, oh, you'll get your YouTube video 2 seconds quicker.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the whole PR marketing and the promo of 5G. Now, I know you said about writing to councils and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a waste of time, because the level of control that this is has been done is so high up that you'd be just wasting your time and resources trying to fight it that way. I think the locals with the bulldozer is probably the best solution.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right, Alan, because the way things are going, I mean, you know, I have a news report in front of me about Brussels. Brussels banned 5G in Brussels, right? So they're not getting it. They're the ones who are orchestrating this for us, for all of Europe.
Yeah.
What's going on here? Shouldn't they have, if they think this product is safe, they should be the first ones who get it.
Mm.
But no, Brussels is now 5G free.
Yeah.
What nonsense is this?
Well, they know because in Brussels, that's where they have the Hague, isn't it? And that's where you have all the politicians where they meet for the European Parliament.
Yep. And all the top civil servants that we're talking about, that's where they are. And so, yes, it's all, this is not an accident, the way this is all playing out. But 5G, I just read a headline in Mail Online. This is February 11th this year. So it's just happened. And it says, Britain's 5G boom is set to be boosted with new kit installed on road signs, bus shelters, and traffic lights. So there's not going to be one square inch that isn't going to be 5G enabled. And, you know, we've never been exposed to stuff like this before, and certainly not at as high a frequency, nor have we been hit with this kind of strength or this amount of this stuff. You know, I was called to a mast. I had to give a talk in Cavan, and there was a mast where people had actually lived in a caravan at the mast site to try and stop them putting an extension on the mast that was there, because the mast that was there, and a bunch of them had cancer, and the mast that was there was the size of the Eiffel Tower. It had 96 pieces of equipment on it, something like that. Mm. And they were coming to put another 20 meters or something on top of this thing with more equipment. Mm. And the people were already having cancers in their areas. It was, they protested. I was brought there to talk to the community. But, you know, believe it or not, with that 96 pieces of equipment, it still came under the safety guidelines that the government had set.
Wow.
Because it set it so high. 5G is 40% higher than the safety guidelines. So that mast with 96 pieces of equipment, if you have 5G in your home, it's already 40% higher than that mast with 96 pieces of equipment on it.
It's worrying. The trouble is, I mean, I have a mast not far from me, as you know, Walter, down the road from me. And it just seems that no matter where you go, it's very, very difficult to try and get away from it. I mean, sometimes I've gone on Google Maps. I've gone on the Comreg site over here in Ireland. We have the communications regulator, and they have a site view map, and you can go on it, and it tells you where the transmitters are. And I'm looking for a location to say, well, if I decide to move house or sell up, you know, where can I go? And when you look at the map, you think, well, there's very few places that you can go, and chances are, if you do go to them places, you probably will be going back to the Stone Age regarding communications, and your Wi-Fi will probably be like dial up. Well, not your Wi-Fi, but your broadband will be like dial up. You know, it'd be so slow because it'd be that far away from the exchange. Now, you know, as I say, you know, it depends on how much you use the internet. But it's just the trouble. No matter where you seem to go, so again, that's something that has to be addressed. With the white hats going forward, all this needs to be shut down and stopped. And as I say, the fight is going on at the moment with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I was told by a BT engineer who came to the house, you know, he said all the BT engineers were being retrained right now to install 5G antennas and 5G masts because they don't intend for one square foot to not be hit with 5G on the entire planet. They intend this to be everywhere. Even the Eskimos are going to get it. You know, even the Indians in the Amazon are going to get it. So they are determined that this is going to be absolutely everywhere. And we have to stop this because this is another one of those giant experiments.
Yeah.
We know it's going to be bad. We just don't know how bad it's going to be. And also, as these vaccines have been shown to have graphene oxide in it and these particles, these metal particles, you're going to light up like a Christmas tree when they turn on 5G.
That's going to be worrying for people who have actually taken the experimental jab.
Oh, absolutely.
Because obviously if they have graphene in that vaccine or in that jab, then they're going to be easily controlled and manipulated and affected by it.
Yeah. Oh, no, they're the target audience, I think. And it's unfortunate. I don't want to see any of them go. We need everybody for this fight. We need everybody to survive this. And yet they've voluntarily walked in and taken this on, you know, put this in their arms without doing any homework at all to even find out what's in it.
Yeah. Just the people who are electrically sensitive at the moment. I've interviewed three of them on OIM a few years ago, and they literally couldn't even talk on the phone. They could only stay on for a few minutes, and they were kind of swapping houses because this effect was really hurting them. Mm-hmm. And this is before the advent of 5G. Imagine what the effect is going to have on them with 5G being rolled out. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And people need to realize that, you know, the damage this is. Now, I don't know whether getting RF paint and painting your house with the RF paint, well, I mean, I'm sure it'll help. Okay, it won't be a Faraday cage, but it'll be better than nothing, you know?
I don't know. I think, you see, if you the signals are coming in your windows for a start, and if this comes into the house and you painted the walls and you haven't covered the windows and you don't make it into a Faraday cage, then it's going to be bouncing all over like you're sitting in a microwave oven, and it'll be accentuated. It'll actually get the signals will keep – they're trying to get out again. They're trying to get out through the windows, and yet you've trapped them. they'll bounce around on the walls and they'll go into you over and over again. There was a sign put into Volkswagens. This was a number of years ago in Germany only. They had a sign on the dashboard that said, if you are going to make a mobile phone call, get out of the car and make the call. Because if you sit in the car, it creates an oven and you're going to be irradiating, getting 10 times more radiation in the car than you would if you stepped outside. And I think that's what's going to happen if you paint your house, the inside of your house, with this stuff and you haven't covered the windows. You've got to make a Faraday cage if you're going to do it.
And of course, living in a Faraday cage, it will be just like living in a recording studio with no windows and everything sealed. And it's just not practical, really. I know it's safety, but it's not practical from a day-to-day basis.
No, it isn't. But, you know, in Sweden, they had, I think it was 350,000 people on a register who were electro-hypersensitive, who in Sweden, they gave you the option. If you could move, they would move you to northern Sweden where there was very little of these signals. And they had a village up there where they started moving them all to. But if you couldn't move, the government came in and actually did the curtains. They put up special curtains. They painted the floors and the walls and the ceilings with the paint you're talking about, and they wallpapered them. They did everything so that you could stay in the city, but you were actually enclosed in your house. It's not the life that you wanted or the life that we expect to have.
Yeah.
That's why this stuff has to be stopped. It's not about us getting protective clothing and trying to hide out from it, which shouldn't be there in the first place. We shouldn't have to be doing this.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure there's technology out there to actually do what we need safer. They just don't want to roll it out because obviously they want the depopulation agenda with everything else. So we have a list of things they're trying to, as you say, the war is on and we're in the middle of it. I have a question from Joan on the chat room there, and she just wants to know, does Walter ever do talks in the South?
I used to. Nobody's invited me down in a while. I think with the whole COVID thing, people were very reticent to have somebody appear down anyway. And then getting groups together was nearly impossible. So it's only just opening up here in the north as well. Now I'm giving talks in the north because there are groups who want to know about smart meters and they want to know about the cheap electric light bulbs and fluoride and things like that. So I'm giving sort of information type talks right now. But in the South, I think it's only just going to dawn on that they've got enough freedom now to actually have speakers come down, and maybe they would get an audience.
Well,
whereas during COVID, you couldn't.
Yeah, no, totally agree. Well, we did in OIM, myself and Steve did one with you in the Headford Arms Hotel.
That's right.
And you came down. Thanks for doing that. And you did the talk on Wi-Fi and everything else. If people are interested, you know, if you want Walter to come down to do a talk, let me know. Email me and let me know your interest. And then I'll speak to Walter and we can make arrangements for Walter to come down and do a talk, because the Headford Arms is quite, I know it's not Dublin, but I just don't like Dublin folks. I'm sorry. I just avoid Dublin like the plague. So I know it's not Dublin, but there are buses to Kells from Dublin. And it's straight up the motorway from Dublin. I mean, you're only talking about 40 minutes to get to Kells from Dublin. So it's not far. And the trouble is, no matter where you have the talk, there's always going to be somebody that's not going to be happy. So you have to kind of pitch the tent and go, right, that's where it is. And if you can make it, you can make it. So does it look that the option is there, folks? If I'm sure Walter wouldn't mind, and we will obviously cover Circle White Light, will cover the costs, and have Walter come down and do a talk if you want Walter to do that. So email me and let me know. Contact us at circlewhitelight.com. Let us know. Right, another question for you, Walter. Mm-hmm. Joan wants to know, can he advise on how one could inform school principals on the dangers of 5G to the students? How would I go about it?
Yeah, it's funny. That's come up here in the north as well. And I think what the thing that you can do is, do you know Michael of Bernicia?
I've interviewed Mike on OIM a few years ago, yeah.
Right, okay. Well, he's put out letters. So have a number of other people put out letters, which you send to the school principal first. And because the letter is a notice, and a notice is a legal document that has been sent to them to ask questions, right? are you aware that, 5G could cause this, or are you aware of that, and actually you're putting them on notice that there is a problem. They then can't hide from it. And because you write to them as a person, you don't write to them as the principal. The way you write the letter is very important. Mm. So you write to them, you say their name is Ian Snowden. You put down at the top where their name and address goes, you put Ian doing business as, or living human, a living man doing business as principal of the school, mm. right? And then you put down the address of the school or, his position. But you don't write to him as a principal. You write to him as a human being, as the person, because you're going to be going after him. And you're also going to take a lien out against his property should he not stop after you've given him information. Mm. But that's, you inform him at the same time as you're putting him in notice. Yeah. You see, and you never, when you write a letter to these people, you don't say, like, for example, there are people who've lost their jobs or quit their jobs whenever they were told they had to have the vaccine or they couldn't work. Had they have written in a letter that said, I am willing to take the vaccine if you can give me the risk assessments that prove that this is safe, if you can give me the ingredients that are in this vaccine so that I know what I'm putting into my body, and so on. You go down a whole bunch of things like that. That's called conditional acceptance. And if you write a conditional acceptance letter, you haven't said no to it. And they have to give you the information. If they don't supply you with the information, they can't then take you, they can't sack you, because now it's unfair dismissal. You ask for legitimate information for the protection of your health. They're required to give it under health and safety regulations. They can't deny it. So that's the way you stop this, is you do conditional acceptance letters.
Okay.
If you're in that position.
I have a question on that, and this applies to masks as well, because my understanding down south, anyway, according to the health and safety, is that risk assessments have to be done on anything that has to be implemented in the company, i.e. the masks as well. And it's not good enough, my understanding is, it's not good enough for them to say, oh, well, the government said to us, oh, we have to wear masks. We don't have to do an individual risk assessment. Now, I personally think they do, because every business is different, and what applies to one company doesn't apply to another. And I think that there's a lot of companies out there have forced their employees to wear a mask, or dictated they have to put a mask on, and they haven't done a risk assessment, or palmed it off and said, oh, well, the government have done their own risk assessment. And you think, no, I think legally you're entitled. You're entitled to actually, well, no, they're not entitled, but they have to, by law, do a risk assessment. But I'd like to have that confirmed.
Well, that is the case. Now, the other issue with that, yes, they have to do a risk assessment. The other thing that you ask for is their liability insurance should you get hurt. You'll find out there is no liability insurance anywhere on this planet for 5G. Or any of this wireless equipment, even Wi-Fi, you can't get insurance. And in the north of Ireland, all of schools were taken off of their insurance because of they implemented Wi-Fi in the schools, because the insurance companies will not indemnify you against harm from microwave radiation of any kind, because they know it's harmful. Mm-hmm. They go on percentages. They look at the percentages, how many people will get hurt, how much damage could this do? And they've looked at Wi-Fi and they've looked at 5G and they've gone, gee whiz, we can't afford this. Mm. This is going to be immense. This will destroy us. So they there's no insurance. And if there's no insurance, well, there's got to be a good reason why there's no insurance. Mm. Because it's risky. There's no other explanation for this. So people should be asking for the liability insurance that the school has or the business has who's trying to push this on you. Ask for their liability insurance. That's another thing. It would be an education to the company themselves, or even the school headmaster, when they do try and find the insurance, because they'll find there is none. Now they might start asking questions. Mm. So I think it's an educational tool as well. So you make your letter as a conditional acceptance letter, and you ask for stuff that they should have, like a risk assessment. You're right about that, because every school has to do a risk assessment on asbestos. Mm. They have to do a risk assessment. You can't just give kids a chainsaw, like in woodwork. They don't get chainsaws. They'd have to have a risk assessment before you expose a kid to anything in a school. It's how it works. This is health and safety. And yet, here we can put, masks on kids, no risk assessment. We can force them to get vaccinations, no risk assessment. No, that's not how it works. They have to have a risk assessment. They're forced to. And there's even environmental laws in Europe require risk assessments and all kinds of other stringent regulations if you intend to put any of this stuff in like a town center or you do something, right? Environmental laws cover you for this as well.
Yeah.
So, you're definitely right. They have to have a risk assessment for everything they do.
Yeah.
But they're not bothering.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're not asking.
And this is why people need to ask every company. I know when I was working in the corporate world over in London, and I was the health and safety officer I wore a couple of hats, and one of them was the health and safety officer. And I couldn't believe the amount of red tape you had to go through regarding health and safety. Mm-hmm. You know, literally I had a health and safety consultant walk around with me in the building. And he was pointing things out and going, yeah, you have to change that and you have to change that and you have to do this and you have to. And I'm going, holy moly. There were shortages saying, oh, if you want to put the kettle on, you'd have to have two people coming with you so they all push the button down together so nobody gets hurt. You know, it was that silly. But this is the way it's gone. So risk assessments for every company, because every company is different. Makes sense, really, and that's something that everybody should be asking for. And if they haven't done that, well, then they're obviously not complying with health and safety regulations as part of the government procedure.
Yeah, and you put in your letter that failure to supply such proof of risk assessments or whatever you're asking for means you don't have one, in which case I won't be complying.
Yeah,
and now you put them on notice. And once you put them on notice, you see, you can actually attach a dollar amount to it because they're threatening you and they're putting you at risk. And you can go back at them for their house. You can actually you can take out a liability on them.
Yeah.
You send a notice of liability and you tell them up front that what you're doing has a downside for you. Mm. And you have to adhere or tell me what I need to know and prove your case, or you're causing me worry and anxiety and all kinds of stuff, and I'm having to do homework, and I'm going to be coming after you for that money. Then when they don't pay the money, that's okay. You then take a lien out on their property. And you can do that in common law. You don't even need to go into a court to do that. So, I don't know if it's totally enforceable, but a lot of this stuff will scare the heck out of a principal.
Yeah,
because they're not courageous people, and they haven't done any homework. And it's when they get pushed, they finally figure out that they haven't done any homework. And that's, you really have to help them to see the situation as it really is. We have a number of friends that we know of here who sent in letters to the principal for their child because they didn't want their child to wear a mask. They didn't want them to do social distancing. They didn't want them to put this sanitizer on their hands, and they didn't want them having PCR tests. Mm-hmm. So they wrote in a letter of a conditional acceptance letter, and they asked all these questions, and their children were allowed to avoid all of it by every one of these schools that those letters went into. But the other children were still forced to do it. But because their parents hadn't sent in a letter.
Yeah, this is the same thing with the lanyard because, I've gone and taken the time and effort to actually do the research and find and I am self-exempt for my own personal reasons. And I have argued the point and it's been accepted now. And I'm walking around the shop and I'm the only one in there that doesn't have a mask on. Everybody else is wearing a mask. And that's the price they pay for their ignorance of not being able to wear a mask because they obviously don't know the law. Now, I did educate the manager to it, and fair play to him. He's applied a lot of the things that I've told him, which is great to see. But as we said about the risk assessment and the conditional acceptance, I mean, that's a big thing for anybody who's in a job and anybody's putting pressure on you regarding the mask. The first thing you say is, number one, if they don't accept you're exempt ask them for the risk assessment. And that's something I personally forgot about, Walter. In my head of everything, that's one thing I did forget about was turn around and say to, if I go into a shop and they say that, I'll go, can you give me a risk assessment? Because obviously you must have done a risk assessment for the mask, because you can't just tell people to put mask on if you've no risk assessment. And until you give me that, then I'll consider it, but I'm exempt anyway. So folks, if you're still getting any issues, I know the masks are finished on the 28th, but look, it might come back again. So keep it in mind. We might have to do that. Now we've got another question for you from Peter down in Australia. Question is, every night I earth myself with a white sheet with many very fine wires in it, earthing sheet, with a copper wire running out my window to a real earth driven into the ground. Do you think this is working against 5G? Thank you, Walter.
I would think so, because really what you're doing is, you know, every animal is earthed. We're wearing rubber-soled shoes now, and we're no longer earthed. You know, the natives in a lot of these South American countries, they don't wear shoes, so they're earthed all the time. And it makes a difference to when you get hit with these fields. When you're hit with radiation like this, it'll run to earth. And so if you're on that blanket, I would assume that it'll just run to earth rather than doing you any harm. It'll instantly go to earth because that's the whole concept of it. And that was there was a documentary put out called Grounded. And it was a man in Alaska. He was the photographer for National Geographic. And so he would be sent to places and he'd have to live with the animals for like 3 months and take photographs of them the whole time and make a film. And he himself had some kind of really serious illness. And he heard an interview with an American scientist who said that you can clear up so many illnesses just by getting earthed. So he crawled out under his house, which is up on stilts. He went underneath and he earthed to the ground in the middle of winter. He came back in and his illness was gone. And he was so concerned, he couldn't believe it. So he bought little earthing spikes with copper wire, and he made a little loop that went over your ankle or your foot. And he gave it to the neighbors to see what would happen. And they all agreed to wear it at night. And all these neighbors came back to him and said, you know, I got rid of whatever they were complaining about. So all these different illnesses started to clear up. They made a documentary about it. And they even had on an astronaut who was talking about the whole idea of earthing as well, because they had to be earthed in outer space in some form. And he was they know exactly what we're talking about here. So earthing is super important. I go out every morning and I stand out in the field in bare feet. And I do, you know, like limbering up exercises before I go in and do my yoga.
Yeah.
So, but I'm earthing the whole time. I even sun gaze as well. But I'm earthing each morning because it's you have to earth. You'd be surprised. Do you remember? I don't know. There was a documentary put out by a woman, Judy. I'll think of her name in a minute. Anyway, she was a scientist in America, and it was over the whole 9/11 thing, you know, and
Judy Woods.
That's right, Judy Woods. And she was maintaining that they were firing some microwave weapon from three different angles at the World Trade Centers and that they burned every car in its way. So right through a car park, all the cars were scorched. Mm. But there were trees standing in front of the cars and they didn't get hit. Mm. They got hit, but they were earthed. Mm. The car had tire, so it wasn't earth, and that was the difference. So when you earth, I think that's when you're safest.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen the documentary Grounded, because I remember myself and Steve talking about this and actually setting up a grounding. Now, I know what we did, it was very kind of a crude method, was to get a plug socket, plug it in, and take an earth wire from the plug socket and put it around your wrist when you're sitting at your computer. Obviously, it'd be better if you get a proper copper wire, a wire pole, and stick it in the ground and run it that way, which is something that I'll be doing in my shed when I'll be setting up my antennas and stuff like that, to get a proper earthing rod in. The 9/11, Dr. Trudy Wood did a big, thick book on, you know, what happened with 9/11. And I remember seeing the photos of the taxi cabs. Half the cab was fine and the other half was burnt. And they said, how do you explain that?
Yeah. Yeah, it was totally incinerated. It was amazing. Seats and everything were incinerated. It was quite astounding. You know, she had all these photos after the thing, after 9/11 had dropped. And the other thing I'd just tell you, because I got on to a scientist in Sweden about the earthing and so on, because I made a Faraday cage here. I built a Faraday cage. And I was talking to him about putting it into an electric socket, you know, like you're talking about, putting it on the earth of a plug.
Yeah.
And then earthing it that way. And he said, you never do that. And he says, you know why? He says, because it's a two-way street. Stuff can come in from your house wiring, you know, so your house wiring is now being used like an antenna. Mm. And so all these signals and dirty electricity and stuff is on your wiring. Now it's going to be fed into your Faraday cage. Mm. Right. So he said, you don't earth through the plug. That was his stand.
And I was going to say,
the earth spike outside, as we talked about.
Yeah, totally agree. And I on the electricity side, and this is why we need, ideally what we in every household needs is a UPS system, because the UPS system will actually clean the electricity coming in, because a lot of the bills that we get is dirty electricity. It spikes and the power, it goes up and down all the time. And that's why sometimes our bills are maybe quite high, because of the dirty electricity. And ideally what we need is that when the two wires come into your house, it needs to go through a what you'd call a bridge rectifier and smoothing capacitors to smooth out the electricity. So you mm-hmm. have clean supply coming into your house and not a dirty supply. But we don't do that. They don't do it. So that's something that, now I know there's gadgets out in the market. You can buy them on AliExpress. And you're supposed to plug them in, and it says, oh, we cleaned the power supply for you. No, they're rubbish. They only cost about a fiver or something. You need to have something a bit more professional to do it. And this is probably one of many things that, you know, if you had one of these, I don't even know about them Tesla wall devices, them power wall Tesla things that you can buy. I know, you know, there's a lot of talk about them, and I'm not too sure whether they're any good. I don't know whether you can get them over here, but you can get them in America. But they might be kind of part of the way of trying to clean up the power coming to your house, try and sort it. It's just amazing how much we don't know what's going on, and it's because of that they can run rings around us, with the likes of technology and other things.
Well, none of this is an accident. I keep saying this to groups that I talk to. I mean, you know, were you taught how the law works? Were you taught how court works? Were you taught how money was manufactured, where it comes from? We were taught none of these things. We weren't taught any of this. We're left defenseless. Now, it affects every aspect of our life. It's in our life every day, and yet we're not taught any of this. And we're also enslaving ourselves by how we write and the things that we do, like calling ourselves Mr. and Mrs. You know, when you write a letter, you put down Mr. so-and-so, and I'm Mr. Graham. No, you're not. There is no such thing as Mr. That's a corporate title. And that takes you into a whole other area. You already know about this, but and I assume your listeners probably do too, but the all caps name comes into play and this whole corporate title thing. So they've trained us at school to put down Mr. and Mrs. on our letters. And we've already committed a crime against ourselves by doing that. And yet that's how the society has been handled. So there's all this stuff we've never been taught about. Why aren't we taught how banking works? Why aren't we taught how money is made? Because it's made out of thin air. They just make it up. They just type it on a computer. And the only way they get, when you go in for your mortgage, you actually make the money appear.
Yeah.
They don't go to somebody's account and take out the money and then they split it and they give you a bit of it, you know, and da, da, da. That's not how it works. There's a guy online, and I tell all your listeners to watch this man, is Professor Richard Werner. Professor Richard Werner. And his video is how the banks make money out of thin air. And he's the top man in the world. He's written books on how the banking system works. They're not loaning you anything. They don't loan you anything. They give you a promissory note. Mm-hmm. And so there's all kinds of things going on, which are actually fraud that the banks are doing. I think. And they're not telling us how this is happening. They're not telling us that we actually create our own money that we get for our mortgage. They don't create it.
I have to laugh that I was in the men's shed and we were talking about the fractional banking system. And one of the members, he was not aware of a lot of this stuff that's going on. And I said, well, let me explain how it works. And I told him about they fractionalize the money and they take it within there and stuff. And I explained the whole thing. And I said, when I explained how it worked, and I said, now you've been given a mortgage of money that didn't exist. I said, did they really give you money? And he looked at me and went, well, no. And I said, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then I, you know, went on to, that's why they don't care, because they didn't cost them anything. You know, when they have a house and they evict people and leave the house sitting there for nothing with nobody in it. And people are so, well, surely if we were in it, we'd pay them money and at least they'd be getting some money from the rent. You think, no, they don't care because it didn't cost them anyway. Anyway, the banking systems is designed to take money off you, not to help you. Again, I know it's the cliche, but they give you an umbrella when it's sunny and they take it off you when it's raining. And you have to stay away from banks. CXZR-4, that's a strange name on the old chat room, says, question, is Walter aware of the book The Electric Rainbow?
Yes, I'm aware of it. I mean, I haven't read it, so I'll be honest about that, but I am aware of it. I know that there's a lot of books about your electromagnetic fields and our whole interaction, because we're actually an electric being. We're like a piece of we're like a radio. I mean, we receive and transmit. We're very sensitive to electromagnetic fields, and super sensitive to them. And people aren't aware. They're not made aware. That's another thing we're not taught at school. So they're not made aware that these all kinds of things affect us. For example, even the house wiring. It used to be that they could put your incoming electricity on a living wall. So on the other side of the wall, people are living, right? Now they change the planning so that they go only on, if they can, on an outside wall that isn't where people live on the other side, because there was a little boy in England, 2.5-year-old boy, who suddenly got a brain tumor. And when they went to the house, they found that the incoming electric box was on the other side of the wall to his pillow. And he had been putting his head in this electromagnetic field that was around the box all day, or all night, and that had created his brain tumor. And that's why we now have the new regulations preventing you from putting these things on. So house wiring is also we interact with. So at night, what we've been doing is turning off all the electric. I just throw the switch, and we go without electric. I don't need it during the night. And, a lot of people have electric wiring running up next to their bed for a table lamp or something like that. You're interacting with that. It's going negative, positive, negative, positive, negative, positive all night. Your blood is running past it. Mm-hmm. You're interacting with this. You just don't know it. But if you actually are sitting quietly and somebody was to throw the switch that knocked off all the electric in the house, you'd suddenly go, oh, you'd feel the pressure of it disappearing.
Yeah.
You have to try it because you're interacting with this. And, they could make even your house wiring a lot safer if they use cabled wiring, that's cabled.
Shielded, yeah.
Shielded wiring.
Yeah.
But they're not doing that. They don't have to. But they should be doing that. It's the same as all the cables that are overhead shouldn't be overhead. They should be underground.
Yeah.
There'd be an awful lot less of a field if they were underground, and they'd be an awful lot safer. They put them all above ground where it throws down a huge, like a half a mile footprint or whatever it is, quarter of a mile footprint, So they could make stuff safer. And it's the same when the mobile phone came out. When it first came out, it was analog, and it was a continuous flow of energy, and we hardly had anything on the news or in any even alternative news about people complaining about headaches and skin rashes and migraine headaches and all the other things that we're now getting with the Wi-Fi and so on. So they put a pulse in it, and it's the pulse that the scientists believe is causing all the biological troubles. And, they found in – it was in Texas. There was a husband and wife. They were doctors. And they started not sleeping, and they couldn't understand why. Even if they took drugs, they couldn't get to sleep. And it was because the leg kept twitching, they started to time it, and they found every 27 seconds the legs twitched. And they were talking to a neighbor down the road. He worked for the electricity board or something, and he told them, that's the smart meter. The smart meter sends out a pulse every 27 seconds. And so they were responding to that pulse that was flashing through their house from their smart meter. Wow. They had no idea. They then organized a whole group in Houston, Texas, and they got the law changed that got the smart meters out. If you wanted it out, you got it out.
Yeah.
So people just started getting them all out of their house. Now Austin is almost clear of it. So people aren't aware that they interact with these signals. They don't understand that they're interacting with the electromagnetic field, and it has a biological effect on you.
Mm. Yeah, you know? I totally agree. And, you know, the one thing that you mentioned before also was that you changed your mattress to a feathered mattress.
Yes. I got rid of the mattress. I changed everything, in fact, because I had a scientist. I had met him at a conference in London, right? It was in England. It was near London. And there was a conference, and it was a children's charity who had flown me over. And I gave a talk. On one day, I talked about fluoride. The next day, I talked about electromagnetic fields and children's health. And the woman who had organized it, she had said, you know, you should listen to this next guy who's coming up. He's fascinating. His name was Alf Riggs. He's still alive, but he's retired now. But Alf Riggs was used by all the royal families of Europe. They checked all of their houses for electromagnetic fields. And they also checked for underground ley lines and things like that before they would even build. And I was told a story, and I haven't confirmed this, so it's anecdotal, that I think it was Fergie, you know, the redheaded royal, had built a playroom onto the end of her palace, you know, for the kids, for all the royal kids to play in. The queen came over and said, did you get Alf Riggs in here to test this? She went blank, so the queen ordered the Alf Riggs to come and test the room. And they found some very strong ley lines running right under the middle of the playroom. She had it bulldozed. Mm. And it cost like $1.5 million or $2 million. I mean, of course, that's nothing to them.
Yeah.
But, you know, they just knocked it over rather than put the children at risk. So these ley lines and the things, we're not paying attention to them. Mm. But the super rich certainly are, apparently. I mean, if so royal families are looking at this, there's got to be something wrong here.
Did you say to me before that Dodi Al-Fayed actually got his house converted into, or part of it converted into, a Faraday cage?
More or less, because what happened was they were putting up a mast near his house. Now, he didn't pay any attention to it. He didn't know about any of this, but the people in the surrounding areas started petitioning and fighting to stop the mast. And he suddenly took an interest. And so he agreed to take a lawsuit on their behalf, right? And he didn't expect to find anything. He thought it was all perfectly safe. He knew nothing about it. And then he brought in scientists, right, who were going to then put together the arguments and for his lawyers and so on. And then he suddenly realized, oh, my God, this is a super risk. Then he got in a crowd who then wallpapered his house with wallpaper that would bounce off microwaves and put up curtaining and things like that. So, no, yes, he started to protect himself because he realized this was an actual risk, which he had never even thought of. And he funded that lawsuit for the neighborhood.
Yeah. It's worrying. We have a few minutes left, Walter, and obviously I want to leave on a positive. Mm-hmm. You know, there's an awful lot going on, which we talked about tonight, and you know, people could easily go, good God, is there any way around this? But the great thing is that there's a lot of people fighting the system. There's a lot of people waking up to it and realizing what's going on. And that's part and parcel of the whole people questioning the system, and maybe COVID was a catalyst as well for people to go, hang on a minute, if they're doing this with COVID and this experimental drug, then what are the other things they're trying to do to us? What's in the food? What's in the 5G? Because obviously to talk about 5G at the same time with COVID and the issues there. And this is part and parcel of the awakening. So I think there are, as you said, you have seemed to have a lot of groups. I'm not seeing it where I am. I'm sorry to say, I'm not seeing it. Now, I am going to a community meeting during the week. But that's really got to do with like just a local, it's not even a local community, it's just a few people on Tidy Towns, I think, they're getting together and talking about the community. But more than likely things might be said on that. But sometimes, as I say, you're talking to a brick wall with some people because they just don't believe that the government would have the audacity to actually roll out things that are bad for you. I mean, it's that kind of level of ignorance that you're dealing with.
Yeah, I think, see, they've lulled us into this over the years, and it's been in baby steps. And people, it's like we're talking about the BBC and RTE, and these agencies should have been having both sides of the argument on mobile, not on mobile phone masks, but certainly on mobile phone masks, but on the vaccine and on the masks. Yet there was nothing. We had nothing. Mm-hmm. Why wasn't there a discussion about this?
Yeah.
Why weren't we hearing from the scientists who were proving this stuff was all harmful? Mm. Why do we have to go to alternative news to find it?
Exactly.
So this is what they've done. They have lulled us into believing that RTE and BBC are telling us the truth and that they're truth givers and they're really researching into subjects. No, apparently they're not, because they aren't telling us about these things and they're critical.
Yeah.
So we're not hearing about any of this. And that's what's really worrying, is the censorship, the massive amounts of censorship that the media have been practicing. I would hope that some of these lawsuits eventually make it into court and some of these people actually get arrested and put in jail for what they've done.
Definitely.
There's an awful lot of people who've died here. I mean, the suicide rate in Northern Ireland, we had the highest suicide rate in Europe, and it went up 600% during COVID.
My God.
During the lockdown. So, I mean, you know, how many people died here committing suicide over all of this nonsense, you know? It's an amazing, and they're talking about supposedly a few people who were saved in some way. I mean, it's just nonsense. And then you look at all the elderly who were suddenly left in nursing homes with no visitors. You couldn't visit one of them. You couldn't hold their hand. They had to die alone. And then they were cremated whether they wanted to be or not. You know, it was all kinds of things went on. Then they canceled all autopsies. Once you cancel the autopsies, you don't know why anybody died.
Yeah.
So that now we don't know what they really died from. Mm-hmm. And questions have been put into the British government asking them how many people died from COVID exclusively. And it's like a handful.
You know,
they all had underlying health conditions.
They said that, you know, in a few years' time, maybe in 10, 20 years' time, mm-hmm. people will look back in this and they'll say, this is the biggest I told you so in the world ever because of what happened. Okay, another quick question from, I'll get it in from Joan, and she wants to know, does Walter believe in dowsing, water divining, and its energy lines?
Yes, and I actually practiced it. It's funny, I wanted to put a well in here, and I had been told of a farmer. He was up in Antrim, big man. I mean, I didn't know men came this size. And he was in his, maybe he was in his late 70s or early 80s. I don't know, but he was a big man. When he got in the car, you know, the springs actually, he grounded the car on his side. Mm-hmm. He was not heavy. He was huge, maybe 500 pounds. I don't know what he was. Had huge hands on him. Well, he could divine, right? And that douse. And that was the first time, you know, I'd really looked into it, but I needed to know where the well would go. And so he came to my property. And I drove the car into the backyard, and he got out with his he had like willow or something like that, dowsing rods. And he started walking around the property, and suddenly they started flipping. And he said, oh, here's a well. This, you could put a well here. And he went over it and over it, and he said, this well would do you for the whole year, right? So I marked the spot. And after we got to like another spot, and he found another place where we could get a well that would do us for three quarters of the year. Mm. So in talking to him, he suddenly said, you know, I can feel off of you that you have the electromagnetic field that you could douse. You could do the same as me. I think you're sensitive. And I said, no, I don't think so. And he says, yes, no, you are. I can feel it. I'm really sensitive. And you're putting out this field. And he said, take the dowsing rods. He said, walk around and see what they do for you. And right enough, when I got to his spot where he had pointed, it flipped. They started spinning. I couldn't believe it. You know, I wasn't expecting it, but it did. And he said, now you can do this. And I was in the RDS center about a month after this, and they had a guy who was teaching people how to douse. And I was walking past, and he says, "Do you want to learn how to douse?" And I said, "Yeah, sure. What do I do?" And he says, "Take these two wires, you know, in your hands and do this and that." And he says, "Somewhere in the RDS center, there's an underground or a sewer pipe or a water pipe, like a big water pipe." And he says, "You call out to me, and I'll tell you if you found it." So I walked across the RDS center, and suddenly they turned in on themselves, right?
Yeah.
And I backed up, and they came apart. As I walked forward, they went together again. Mm. So I yelled at him, and he said, "That's it." So, yes, I apparently can douse. And I started dousing then around our house and getting all kinds of things, you know, finding things. And the dousing does work. And, in fact, Alf Riggs, that's another thing, who was for the royal families, he came with two suitcases, big, big suitcases like, you know, they used to have in the old days. They were on wheels. But he brought these two suitcases, and in the suitcases were all of these meters. Right. So he had one for, you know, like radiation from power lines. And he had another one for nuclear radiation and things like that. He had a Geiger counter. He had different. He had a full spectrum analyzer for microwaves. He had all this kit. Right.
Mm. Yeah.
After he checked our house, he found a ley line in a corner of a room. And then he pulled out dousing rods. And I said, You're going to douse? He said, "Oh, yes, it's much more sensitive." And then he walked around and he said, "Oh, this is going in there and it's coming out there." And he could tell with his dousing rods. This is the guy who the royal families were using.
Well, so, I'd like to try that on my house out of curiosity. Because I know, you know, like a good few years ago, Walter, you came down, fair play to you, and you had the smog detector, and the videos are actually on YouTube, and people want to see Walter in my house at the time, going back to probably 2012, I think it was, nearly 10 years ago, Walter.
And I probably had full dark hair then.
I probably had hair then as well, a little bit more than what I have now. And so the videos are on the OIM YouTube channel, and there's two of them. Walter was detecting my Wi-Fi, and then the mobile phone mast down the road, and then you did a demo on the microwave, and the smog detector was going off. That company, by the way, who did that, the smog detector that you had, they never got around to making them again, which is a shame, because they were a bloody good tester.
They were terrific. I still have them. Now, what they have done is they have come out with a new meter. I mean, I have it here. It's supposed to detect 5G. Now, I don't know if it does because we don't have 5G in our area at the minute.
Yeah.
But it does. It goes higher than the electrosmog detector. You know, the electrosmog detector does up to, I think it's 3 gigahertz, and this one goes up to, I think it's 6 or 7 gigahertz. So it can pick up more than the other one. But I like the electrosmog detector was just so good. I'm sorry they stopped. You can probably still get them on eBay. You know, people sell them secondhand.
Yeah.
So take a look on eBay and see if you can get one.
Check on it. I actually got the tri-field meter from America. And the tri-field meter goes up to 6, but apparently it can be a bit more sensitive than that, according to the manufacturers anyway. But that does the 3. It does magnetics, electrical, and RF all in one. And it's a handy meter to have. But look, we've reached that time. And fantastic, Walter, as usual. Great information. Thank you for taking the time and coming on the show. I hope to see you in a few weeks' time, because myself, Walter, and his good lady wife are going to go out for a meal and have a chat and have a catch-up. That's the plan anyway. So, Walter, a big thank you for coming on. Do you want to give out any of your contact details should people want to get in touch with you?
Well, I mean, you know, they can get in touch with me through you for a start. I can give out the email address if they want to write. That's fine. It's Walter Graham Walter. That's Walter Graham, all one word, and then Walter after it. The library did this to me. Walter Graham Walter at yahoo.co.uk. Brilliant. So it's Walter Graham Walter at yahoo.co.uk.
Great stuff. And if anybody wants Walter's email or wants to get in touch and you're having problems, just contact me on Circle White Light, and obviously I can pass on the information there. Walter, thank you very much for coming on. Just stay with me there for a minute and we'll just go off to a musical break and we'll be back after this.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
There you go, Manic Monday by the Bangles. And tomorrow is obviously the 14th of Feb, Valentine's Day. So good luck to everyone who's doing their bit for Valentine's Day. You know, some people might see it as commercial. Anyway, thanks to Walter Graham. Walter's a great guy. I've known Walter for years. And we've always ended up having a great chat about things and talking for hours and God knows what, you know. So he's been down with me having dinner, and I'm going to fly up to him sometime in the next few weeks to have dinner and talk shop and all that kind of stuff, and catch up on things. But as I said, if people are interested in having Walter come down and do a talk, email me and let me know, because we did it in OIM, where we had Walter come down to the Headford Arms in Kells. We booked the room behind reception and Walter did the talk all about wireless technology and the dangers of wireless technology and everything else. And it was great. So, you know, again, more obviously there's more news today than what was, you know, a few years ago. So obviously we'll get an update and everything, and you can ask some questions. So if people want that, let me know and we'll see what we can do. Now, for next week, my guest on the show next week is Jerry Dalton. Now, Jerry was on a few weeks ago and everybody said, oh, do a part two with Jerry. His information is very good. Sorry, I think I got that horse in my throat. So I asked Jerry to come back on, do a part two. People found Jerry's information very interesting. So Jerry's going to come on next week. And we'll have a chat with Jerry. And then the week after that, I believe I have Kim and Liam coming on to give us an update on the whole Assembly Life Force, PGSD and everything else that's going on there, because there's an awful lot going on there at the moment. And I know I don't mention a lot about it on the show because, you know what, it's all background stuff and I can't commit to any information that's not 100% solid, because it keeps changing all the time. So until we can kind of definitely, something happens and we know it's happened and there it is, then I will, I'll make an announcement. But we're just kind of quietly working in the background and hope to have some information on you. However, if you do want to go over to the Irish Assembly website and have a look at it, it's been recently updated. If you go over to irishassembly.org, I'll just type it in there in the actual chat room there, so people can pop over and have a look at the website there. And we've more stuff to put on, we've more videos to put on, there's more bits and pieces to put on, but you can have a look at that anyway and have a nose and see what you think. And all the other assemblies around the world are in the process of setting up their own websites and all that kind of stuff as well. So there's an awful lot going on in the background. And as I say, if I have any news, I'll keep you posted. So that's it, folks, from me. What time is it now? It's, time to finish up. So I hope you enjoyed the show. Walter's a great guest, great guy. I've known him a long time. And we'll see you next week for Jerry Dalton. If there's any news or any information that you have, email me it in at contactus@circlewhitelight.com. If you can afford a few quid and you want to support Circular White Light to help us with donations and everything else, the PayPal is actually on the website. Or if it's you want to do Patreon, remember that what I do is with Patreon is if you sign up to Patreon, I actually do a weekly blog on Patreon. So I normally do that on the Monday and I just put my thoughts on the show that I did the night before and a few other things and a few links and stuff like that. So you, unfortunately, I can't do that with PayPal, but I can do it with Patreon. So if you want to sign up to Patreon for, you know, €5 or whatever, then you'll get the blog as well, a benefit of seeing the blog from there. So, and don't forget, T-shirts are available as well. So for myself anyway, Alan James, take it easy. Hope you enjoyed the show. Have a happy Valentine's Day tomorrow and have a good week. Stay safe, take care, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on CircleOfWhiteLight.com, focusing on solutions and thinking different.